Whether the outcome is good or bad, our next guest argues this social distancing and self-quarantining we're all trying to figure out will change us for good. Mark Roseland is a senior sustainability scientist at ASU School of Community Resources and Development. And in a new piece from Medium, he thinks through the long-term effects on the idea of sustainable cities if climate change leads to more pandemics like the one we're experiencing now. How can our increasingly and sustainably urbanized cities survive social distancing? Our co-host Lauren Gilger spoke with him more about it and just how climate change and the new coronavirus pandemic may be related.
I want to start with this kind of broad idea, which I've heard rumblings of, but is climate change causing or is it more likely to cause more pandemics in the future? Are these two ideas related?
Well, they are. We don't know exactly how they are, but they are in the sense that we know that climate change makes pandemics more likely since it expands the natural habitat of infectious insects such as mosquitoes. And it reduces the habitat of animals, which pushes them closer into contact with humans. Mm. So it's, you know, in all likelihood, this COVID-19 is not going to be the only, maybe not pandemic, but certainly not the only, you know, serious virus we are dealing with. Every model predicts that we, aside from having other waves of this virus, we might have COVID-22 or COVID-25 ahead of us.
So, okay, so there's that idea in this piece you wrote for Medium, but then there's this other idea. You're connecting this idea of social distancing to sustainable cities. It raises, you say, profound questions about our approach to sustainable cities. What do you mean by that?
Well, the virus hopefully will be tamed at some point. There'll be a vaccine. Things will go back to some kind of a normal, perhaps. But what is going to stay with us, I think, long after the virus is the social distancing. Mm. The social distancing, more accurately, the physical distancing, the spatial distancing, this is really profound. This is going to shape our generation and the generations of those who are alive now in a way that, you know, our grandparents' lives were shaped by the Great Depression and the World Wars. This is really going to alter people's behavior, and it's going to stay. It's going to stay for a very, very long time. So even, you know, when the pandemic subsides and there's vaccines and, you know, things are relatively normal, we are going to be thinking very, very differently about the world and, frankly, about each other. And that's the point I wanted to make in this article, is that we need to start thinking about that now, because there won't be any going back. This is a traumatic event, and it will shape how people interact and how they think and how we, you know, what we think is socially good and acceptable and desirable and what isn't for a very, very long time, decades to come, possibly generations. And in terms of sustainable cities, one of the great questions that comes to mind is a lot of the thinking about, you know, urban sustainability and dealing with things like climate change is that cities are key to that, and that we can, you know, address some of the causes and find more of the solutions by being together in cities. And the idea of social distancing poses a pretty, you know, interesting challenge to the notion of being more closely together in cities. So that's what we're trying to explore in this piece.
Right. So this idea of building sustainable cities that are more urban, more centralized, take up less space, is going to be challenging in a world in which social distancing doesn't just go away after this.
That's right. And so we have to think anew about, do we really want to have people in cities? You know, and do we want to have the kind of density that we have in major cities? And I think we do, by the way. But I do think that we have to think it out. I think we have to think it out. There are some things about the way we've approached urban sustainability that I think are very strong and that are reinforced by the COVID-19 crisis, and there are other things that we might want to rethink. And I also think it opens up an opportunity to think differently about our lower density cities. A lot of our cities are actually not that dense, mm-hmm. and certainly Metro Phoenix area is a great example of a you know, quote unquote urban area that's really not very urban by global standards. it's very low density. And so thinking about low density suburban areas and low density cities, and how do we reprovision them? How do we make them not only good places in terms of waiting out a pandemic, but also the how do we deal with the other issues about climate and sustainability and carbon emissions and energy efficiency and all of those other things that were what we were talking about 3 or 4 weeks ago before we even heard of social distancing.
Right. So this really flips things on its head, right? Because so much of the conversation, especially here in Phoenix, has been about anti-urban sprawl, right? Like making sure that we stop building suburbia forever and taking up all of our natural landscapes and pushing out into the desert. But now maybe that's not such a bad thing in light of the space that we have to be away from each other.
Well, I think we have to have that debate. I think we have to really talk about those things. And what we tried to say in this article is that there are some things about that move toward more essentially mixed-use compact urban development that we might want to pause on for a moment. But my view is that actually, while it's important to think this out, I think if we do this thoughtfully and carefully, we're probably not going to go away from it. I think there's a lot of things that are really profoundly good and important. And if we were to flip our direction and say, okay, let's go back to the 1950s suburban and urban growth model,
right,
we might survive the pandemic, but we are definitely going to succumb to climate change,
right,
and all of the other things that we were worried about, 4 weeks ago.
So what does this look like? There are pluses and minuses here that you outline in terms of, you know, maybe this is helpful in terms of reductions in air travel and traffic congestion, but maybe it's making things like public transportation harder and all of these sorts of things that are good in terms of sustainability. What can we learn from this? Where would you like to see this in a decade or more?
Well, I think it's hard for any of us to predict,
yeah,
even tomorrow. But I do think that, you know, we're seeing some glimpses of what a more sustainable world would be like because of things like the reduction in manufacturing and the reduction in commuting. So we're seeing air quality improving in urban areas in China and in Europe, and I think increasingly in the United States over the next couple of weeks. We're seeing that, wow, you know, these things are possible. I mean, obviously nobody wants the virus, but we're getting a glimpse of what a less industrialized future might look like, what a future that's less reliant on fossil fuel combustion might look like. And there's some good things there. Obviously, we don't want people dying and we don't want to be in the health emergency, but we are getting a glimmer of some things that you know, we haven't seen for a very long time. So there may be some things that we might want to keep. I mean, working remotely for those that are, you know, able to do it. I think that's one of those things that's not going to, it's never going to be the same. I think there's all kinds of possibilities. I mean, as employers get used to having knowledge workers and office workers working remotely, they might say, you know what? That's not so bad. Actually, there's some advantages. And what the heck? We're spending an awful lot of money on downtown real estate. Maybe we don't need so many people in the office all the time. You know, so maybe there will be a reduction in commuting. Maybe we will start to see some more interest in mixed land uses so that people don't have to get into a car all the time and basically, you know, use a quart of gasoline to get a quart of milk. Those are the things that, you know, a month ago we thought were going to kill us. They still are going to kill us if we don't deal with them. But, you know, there are some things here that I think will open up some new opportunities, new ways of thinking about the future.
All right. A little bit of light at the end of the tunnel there then.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Mark Roseland is a professor in the School of Community Resources and Development in the Watts College of Public Service and Community Solutions at ASU. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.